Daniel chapter 5 tonight. Daniel chapter 5, that's in the Old Testament. If you look there, about midways, drop it open, it'll be pretty close to Daniel chapter 5. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be here tonight. Good to have my wife back tonight. Amen. Yeah. Daniel chapter 5, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Do you see a problem here? There's a great problem here that we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. He says in verse 3, then they brought the golden vessels which were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night again. I just thank you for who you are. Lord, praise you for saving me, Lord, and Lord, put me on that rock that the preacher's talking about this morning, Lord. I thank you for being my rock and my anchor, Lord. Thank you for my salvation. And Lord, we just pray tonight for the moving of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, Lord. Help us to realize who we are and what we are when it comes to the things of God. And Lord, I pray most of all somebody in here tonight may not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray the night would be the night of their salvation. And again, pray for our missionaries tonight, Lord, all over the world, preaching the gospel. I pray that you give them fruit for their labor. I pray for those on deputation that you'll keep them safe on the street as they go from church to church raising their support. Lord, I pray that you'd help us in here tonight to look directly into the Word of God and see what we need in our hearts and lives. And Lord, we'd be careful to give you the honor, glory, and praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's a great thing to be a child of God. Amen. I mean, it is. I often sit back and I think about myself, especially when I'm listening to some good gospel music or something, and people are singing about being a child of God, and I think, man, what a great thing it is to be a child of God. If you're not a child of God, guess what? You're a child of the devil. Amen. So it is a great thing to be a child of the devil. And the Bible tells us, it describes many times what a saved person is in the New Testament. Listen in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. The Bible says this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Aren't you glad you fall into that category tonight? I mean, I am. I can't believe it, but I have a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and I'm a peculiar person. Amen. I've been told that on many different occasions. Amen. Then verse 10 says, which in time past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Praise God what this description is about a saved person tonight. I hope that you feel that spot. Titus chapter 2, 11 through 15, the Bible says that we're a peculiar people. It says in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And I thank God tonight that I'm a peculiar person. Amen. And I am zealous of good works. Amen. I want the Lord to be satisfied with my life. God also looks at us as a vessel to be used for his honor and glory. He speaks about that in the Bible as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says this, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency and the power may be of God and not of us. Listen in verse 8 and 9. What a blessing thing. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Jesus Christ uses our mortal bodies, what we have, as a vessel for the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever think about that? Sometimes we don't think of ourselves very highly. Sometimes we think of ourselves as no good. Sometimes we think of ourselves as can't do anything for God. But I'll tell you something. If you'll yield yourself to God, He will use yourself as a vessel to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 11 of that same area says, "For we which live are already delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life," listen, "that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." You know what God wants? God wants you to be able to possess your vessel in such a way that people can see Jesus Christ when they look at your life. Amen. They don't want to see Brother Jim or Sister Leslie or Brother Jeff, but people ought to be able to see the life of Jesus Christ in our mortal flesh. Amen. As we walk around as a vessel for God. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Sometimes we look at ourselves as lowly and all these different things, and we all get depressed about the way we live and all this. But I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't see us that way. God sees us as something worth dying for. Amen. He sent Jesus Christ to die for us. He sent Jesus Christ because He so loved you. Amen. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, but He so loved me that He sent His own only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We are important to Him. We are special. We are God's vessels. God's vessels are very special. I want to take you back just for a minute to the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 40. And I want you to understand something about vessels in the Old Testament. Vessels had a very specific place in the tabernacle of God. They had a very specific purpose when they were placed where they're supposed to be. Exodus chapter 40, you can turn there if you want and read along with me. It says in verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," and He's setting up the tabernacle of God. He's setting up the way things are supposed to be. He's telling Moses, "I want all of this stuff placed exactly the way I want it in the tabernacle." And He says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the month thou shalt set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. And thou shalt bring in the table, and set it in order, the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and light the lamps thereon. And thou shalt set the altar of gold before the incense, before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle." Verse 6 says, "And thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt set the laver between the tent and the congregation of the altar, and put water therein. And thou shalt set up the court round about, and hang up the hanging at the court gate. And thou shalt take the anointing oil," listen to this in verse 9, "and thou shalt take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle, and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy." He says to anoint all those things. And in verse 10, He says, "And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt altar offering, and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy." Now, why did I read all that? I've read all that to make you understand that vessels are very important to God. Not only does He call us vessels in the New Testament, but what we see in the Old Testament, they were used in His tabernacle. They were used to be set and to be set aside. If we look there in verse 9, we see that all the things inside there, including the vessels, were anointed. Amen. Amen. They were anointed. They were special vessels. You know, when we start thinking about ourselves not being too high, just think for a minute that you're anointed. Amen? That you're anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. You are special to God. And you're just like these vessels, you have a purpose. Amen? Not only that, but these anointed vessels were used for God. They wasn't used to do anything else with. They were used for God in their tabernacle. They had their certain place to be set. They had their exact job in the tabernacle. They were placed there by God and for God. Amen. That's very important. You need to understand that. Most of you smart in here know where all that's going today. Amen. Know where that's happening tonight. When these vessels are in the right hands and where they belong, they bring honor and glory to God. Amen. You'll understand that here in a minute. When they are placed where they belong and they are used by God, they bring honor and glory to God. Amen. Just like us, to be zealous of good works and bring honor and glory to God if we are placed where we're supposed to be. Amen. But here's the problem. But when we start catering to the world, and when we start entertaining the world and the things of the world, we put our vessel in the wrong hands. Most Christians today don't bring honor and glory to God anymore. I better read before I get all preaching. Amen. I'm like, preacher, this is my introduction. Amen. Not even done with the introduction. Listen, Daniel chapter 5, where I was reading it just a minute ago, look what happened when the vessels were in the wrong hands. When you read there in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar, listen where he got them from. He could have got those vessels anywhere he wanted to. He could have went down to the market and bought some old brass vessels. He could have went down to the market and bought some old vessels that was made out of clay that had been hardened or whatever. But no, Nebuchadnezzar had taken these vessels out of the temple. It says here in verse 2, had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Now I tell you, here's a big decision. Not only was it bad for Nebuchadnezzar to take those, but it was also bad for Belshazzar to go ahead and take them as well. And he said, hey, my father took those out of the temple of God. No point in putting them things back in there where they bring honor and glory to God. Let's just have a good old drinking out of them. Amen. You know what? We tackle at that and say, my goodness, I can't believe that. But you know what? Christians today are letting the world take a drink out of Christians today. Amen? You let yourself in the hand of the world. You cater to the things of the world. You give yourselves to the things of the world, and the world just drinking it up. Amen. Verse 3 says, then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and the king and the princes, his wives and concubines, drank in them. Let me tell you something. That is not a place where God ever intended those vessels to be. Amen. They were taken. They were not in their proper place. They were removed from where they were supposed to be, and therefore they were no longer bringing honor and glory to God, but were being dirtied up and filthied up by Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar to drink whiskey or whatever it is, wine, whatever they were drinking out of it. Amen. To have themselves a good old time. Amen. I tell you, the child of God has no business entertaining the world or being out in the world. Amen. Amen. You know, when I study things like this and the Lord puts this on my heart, I often ask the Lord, why, Lord, do we preach this to our people and to ourselves? Why do we have this? And it's always the Sunday night crowd that the Lord puts these things on my heart. And I honestly pray and I say, Lord, let me preach something else. Let me preach something about heaven, or let me give them a little lollipop tonight and preach something sweet or something like that. But I tell you, it's the children of God, so many times the faithful that are there, that we find throughout the year exactly taken out of the house of God. Amen. We look around tonight, and I've said this every year that I've been here. I'm going on 5 years here tonight, and every year that's gone by, I think of people that's become my friends that are not here tonight. Amen. And they were the Sunday night crowd. Amen. I'm not talking about the Sunday morning crowd. And you say, well, them fools, what's wrong with them to take themselves out of the house of God and all that kind of stuff? And that's what we say to ourselves, isn't it? Well, they are messed up. They didn't get their head on right. And you know what? They were the same ones saying the same thing the year before. I think God puts messages like this on our heart, Brother Chris, to give warnings to for us to listen to and to say, hey, I'm glad I'm not there right now, but hey, maybe I might remember some of this stuff when the temptation comes. Maybe I might remember this stuff when the things happen. Listen, let me tell you something. There is people right now, and this is our church, this Fellowship Baptist Church. I don't see no visitors in here tonight. Is there a visitor in here tonight? Raise your hand up real high where I can see it. There ain't no visitors in here. This is Fellowship Baptist Church tonight, amen? There ain't nobody from the outside. There ain't none of that stuff. But let me tell you something. There's some folks amongst our community, amongst our church family here that finds themselves messed up in adultery, that finds themselves messed up in fornication, that finds themselves messed up in drugs, that finds themselves messed up in gossip, that finds themselves messed up in all kinds of stuff. And you're sitting here tonight on the pew bench saying, well, that'll never be me. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I hope it's not every one of us. But I'm going to tell you so many times, more times than not, it's the person that screams the loudest that that'll never be me. It's the one that we don't see next year. Amen. It's that one. Hey, you know them tonight. You picture them in your head. Brother Corky's been here ever since I've been here, and some of you others have. And you can look down through the pews and see all the missing seats where people are supposed to be. You know what's happened? They take their vessel out of the house of God and put it in the hands of the world. Amen. They started entertaining the things of the world. Started entertaining the things that look better on the outside of those doors again. And I'm telling you, there's not safety outside those doors when it comes to the things of God. Amen. Where we need to be is under the preaching of the word. Amen. We need to be hearing the preaching of the word. We need to be in the house of the God. We need to be serving God and doing what God wants. That's where our vessel is supposed to be. Amen. And I tell you, it scares me to death. There's some folks right now, and we pray for them and all that, that are faithful. Listen, Brother Jeff, I'm going to tell you this, and I ain't trying to embarrass you tonight. I'm just going to tell you. Brother Jeff's been coming for a month or so regular now. Amen. He's been faithful to come. I even asked him tonight. This wasn't part of it. I was being sincere tonight. I even asked him tonight if he'd been coming to Sunday school. Amen. He's one of our newest faithful people here at church. Come and pray. He said, I want my life to be different. Well, you know what? If you want your life to be different, you got to be in the house of God. Amen. And he's been faithful to be here for the last week, month or so. But I tell you, Brother Jeff, I mean this with all my heart. It's going to concern me when you miss a Sunday. It's going to concern me when you miss a Sunday night. It's going to concern me when you miss the next Sunday. Because you know what? The world is calling. The world is always calling. Hey, come out here. Let me entertain you. Come out here. I got things for you. The world is always trying to call you out of the house of God. Amen. Just like Nebuchadnezzar took those vessels where they belonged in the house of God and took them out of the house of God and used them for a worldly purpose. And it got passed on down to the son and so on and so forth. And I'm telling you, that ain't no place where God's vessel is ever intended to be. Amen. God's vessel is to be used for His honor and His glory. The Bible tells this in 2 Timothy 2:19 through 23. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Praise God. Amen. We was talking about in Bible college how God knows man. Amen. How does God know so much about man? Because God created man. Amen. We are His creation. That's why He knows the number of hairs on our head. That's why He knows the pain we go through. That's why He knows the sorrow we have. He knows all that stuff. Because He created us. Amen. He says right here in that verse, He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth true, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And we preach on this from time to time, and we bring up the definition of iniquity. Iniquity is different than just having some kind of sin that pops in our life. Iniquity is knowing what's wrong, and you're going to do it anyway. Amen. And I'm telling you, we got the children of God today. We are the most rebellious I've seen in America today, where we know something's wrong. We know it's wrong to do this or that, but we say, I'm going to do it anyway. We just assume to live in our iniquity now just because it's funner. Amen? That's a word, funner. more fun. We go outside these worlds, and if people tell you sin ain't fun, they are a liar. Amen? Hey, when I was sinning, it was fun, but I tell you, it brought devastation in my life when that sin was over. The Bible, when as a lost person, I didn't understand what was happening, but the Bible says when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. And I'm going to tell you something, that's the same in the Christian life as well. You get out there entertaining the world, you take your vessel out of the house of God, you take your vessel down to the bar, you take your vessel down to the street corner, you take your vessel to anywhere it don't supposed to be and all that stuff, and you know it's wrong, amen, that's iniquity, and you entertain that, I'm going to tell you something, when that sin is done with you, you will be spiritually dead, amen. I tell you, I've been there. I've messed with iniquity before. I've known some things in my life. And I said, Lord, I know this is wrong, but it sure feels good. And I want to just stay right here for a little while. And the Lord said, you just go ahead. You know that joy that you have? You know that peace that you have? I'm going to kill it all. Amen. When that sin bringeth forth death, and it will happen in your life. Let me tell you something. That ain't where Christians are supposed to live. That ain't the attitude we're supposed to have. We're not supposed to get up here and listen to the preaching, and we know that something's right in our heart. God convicts us and all that, and we say, hey, Lord, I know all that, but you just make sure Brother Billy does what he's supposed to do, amen? I'm going to go ahead and do what I'm supposed to do, amen? Hey, that's the kind of attitude we get sometimes. I tell you, for me, it ain't the drinking and the cussing and all that stuff. It's thinking wrong about people, amen. God says, you ain't supposed to think that way, son. And I say, that's right, Lord, but I like thinking that way, amen. And the Lord said, you better get that straightened out in your life. You better get that kind of thinking straightened out in your heart, amen. See, sometimes us good Sunday night Christians in here, we're all right. The preacher going to preach on fornication. I'm clean there. Oh, the preacher going to preach on adultery. I'm good there. Oh, he's going to talk about alcohol. I'm good there. But when we talk about them thoughts, we go, oh, what's he preaching on now? Who told him to say stuff like that? Hey, when it comes to our personal life with the Lord, when we're supposed to be praying and reading our Bible and all that stuff. Preacher made a good point this morning, and I really feel like most Christians today don't go there for their answers either, and that's the Word of God. On your knees before the Lord to get the answers. I'm going to tell you something. Does everybody in here know you're supposed to pray and read your Bible to find the answers to life? Well, you know what? If you know that and you're not doing it and you're getting your answers from Dr. Phil or Orpah or any of that other mess, you know what you're doing? You've got iniquity in your heart. Amen? Because the person you ought to be asking is God for the answers. Amen? Whew, that felt good. Amen. The Bible tells us to continue on in 2 Timothy 2:19 through 20. Hey, I'm preaching myself tonight. I know y'all are angels in here. I seen it tonight when y'all walked in. You couldn't even hardly get in the door because your wings wouldn't get through there. Amen? And then when you sat down, the halos were so big. I said, Lord, I preach it to myself tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just preach to myself. I have a better time doing that anyway. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But listen, but in a great house, is God's house great? Oh my gosh. God's house is the greatest house there is. Amen. I love my house. I like living in the country, but I can't wait to live in God's house. Amen. I can't wait to live where He's prepared a place for me. Amen. The Bible says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21 says, If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You know why we're not prepared tonight to work for God? You know why we're not where we're supposed to be because we're still entertaining the world out there. We're still worried about having fun when church is over with, amen. We're still worried about all that stuff. You know what I did? I went back to some of my old roots this last week. Some of my old roots is just to listen to good gospel music. Quit watching the TV as much. Quit listening to all that garbage. And just listen to good gospel music. I'm talking about while I'm driving in the car. While I'm at work in the office, me and Christy, I said, put some of them Kingdom Airs on or something. I want to hear some good gospel music. I'm tired of these griping customers and everything else. Just put me on some good music. I want to find that joy I used to have. I want some of that excitement I used to have, amen. And I know where to get it from, and it's from God, amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You ask these little kids, man, Sean. I'm not trying to make you feel fast saying a little kid, amen. I'm just saying younger kid, amen. You ever been to Dollywood? No. You been to Lake Winnie? That's fun, ain't it? That's a lot of fun. You like them rides? You like all that stuff? When you're done at Lake Winnie, is it fun over? It's over, isn't it? When you leave there, it's over, right? Guess what? Church and the things of God don't have to end in 12 hours, amen. When you're through that, hey, when you get up in the morning, Brother Jeff, and you open this book up right here and you start reading it, you start listening to some good music, you start thinking about God, let me tell you something, the ride is not over, amen. My kids love Dollywood. You know what the worst part of Dollywood is? When it's time to leave. That's, oh man, it's time to leave. When can we come back? Just think if we thought about church like that. Huh? Brother Norris made me feel good tonight. You know, he told me in the prayer room, he said, I sure was glad to see you this morning, Brother Ron. Well, you know what? That makes me feel good. Amen. Isn't it nice when you can come somewhere where somebody's nice to see you? You know why Dollywood's glad to see you that day? Because you just paid $1 million for that ticket, amen? That's why they're glad to see you that day. I'm glad to come where brothers and sisters in Christ enjoy each other, where they come and all that kind of stuff together. The Bible says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where we was reading, he says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. You know what? I want to be ready for God to use me.
Yeah, amen.
You know, to be ready for God to use you means you need to be prayed up, read up, everywhere you need to be, and not living in iniquity. Amen. You need to be, let me tell you something. What's a good example? Whew, I could think of a million of them. Oh, I'll tell you a good one. Went down to, what's that prison down there in Louisiana? Angola. Went down there to preach with the Rock of Ages 1 year. And I've been preaching in the prisons a long time. And, you know, you go down there, Brother Jim, we go down there and, you know, we're going to do all the talking, right? That's the plan. We're going to do all, you know, when you're preaching, you're always planning on you doing all the talking, amen? When we're up here preaching, we ain't expecting nobody to talk back to us, amen, except to say amen or something like that. I get down there preaching and I'm in this one ward. There's 180 men in this one cell that I'm in, and I'm in there preaching and I'm in there with their beds and all that. It ain't like the local prison. Matter of fact, when they took us in there, the guard said, look, you're on your own. When you go in here, we're locking the door and you're on your own. You understand that? We signed all the papers, said, yeah, that's great. We don't care, whatever. I went in there, and I was in there, and thank goodness, I'm going to tell you something. If I had not been prayed up, if I had not been read up, and I'd been living in sin, I would have had a problem. And I went in there preaching the Word of God, telling those prisoners everything. A cemetery's right outside the door. That's their next step, is to be buried right outside that window. They have nothing to lose. You know what I'm saying? And I went in there and half those men wouldn't listen to me and the other half and all this. And there was this one fella sitting there. And he had his head down and all that. And he raised his head up and he said, preacher, I want to ask you something. I thought, here we go. I said, what's that? He said, you come back down here where I'm sitting. Okay, here we go. You know, I'm either fixing to get killed or it's going to be good. Amen. And I go back there to where he was, and I prayed the whole time, and I went right down there where he was, and I knelt down on the ground right by his bunk, and I sat down there. And I'm going to tell you something. If I had not been prayed up and read up and where I was supposed to be, I would have been a vessel of dishonor. I wouldn't have been a vessel that God couldn't have used at that time to reach that boy for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. I had prayed up that morning, Brother Doug. I had studied my Bible. And when I sat down there beside that man's bed, he looked at me and he said, "There's no way a loving God would ever save a person like me. There's no way. You don't understand what I've done." And that man started telling me what he had done and why he was in prison. And most people would have been scared to death at that moment of what might happen. And I tell you, God just took over. He used me at that moment, and I sat there and explained to that man the love of Jesus Christ, and he got saved, started crying in my Bible. I got that Bible at home. There's a page in there that's all wrinkled up and all that from that man's tears where he cried and he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? That's what being a vessel of honor is. Alma, you strike my attention tonight. You shouldn't have been looking at me like that. Alma, you know what you can be at school? You can be a vessel of honor, or you can be a vessel of dishonor. Just what we're talking about tonight. Shelby, the same thing. You can pray up, you can read up, you can be right with God so that when you go to school, you'll bring honor and glory to God. You won't be entertained by the junk of this world. You won't be worried so much about the pep rally or who's going to win on Friday night, which ain't going to be y'all anyway because y'all school ain't got a good team. Y'all, all that kind of stuff. You might as well be telling people about Jesus Christ. Amen. Put them on the right team. That's what being a vessel of honor is. Being put where God has a place for you. And every person in here, God has a distinct job for you to do. I wish we could understand that. I wish that Christianity wasn't so much a spectator sport. I wish it was more of an involvement sport. Amen? Everybody has a thing to do when it comes to the house of God. Amen? Ready and prepared for unto every good work. Verse 22 says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." I really get a kick out of these folks that say, "I can get my church at home." Most homes I go to ain't a whole lot of churching going on in there. Amen. Every now and then we have to go to somebody's home. I had to do some marriage counseling and went to their home. And when I walked in, I said, "No wonder y'all got problems." Amen. When you look around the house and there's every sign of the devil that you can imagine in the home. And yet people say, "I do my church at home. I do my church at..." Look at what that verse says. "Flee also useful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Now I hope to goodness that the Sunday night crowd come here tonight out of a pure heart to call on the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
To worship the Lord. The choir got here at 5:15. Did y'all really get here at 5:15? Was you the only one here at 5:15? They came. Amen. You know why they did that? Because they want to call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You wouldn't pay them, did you? I didn't think so. I didn't pay them. You didn't give them a Sunday off for showing up at 5:15, did you? I didn't think so. Why did you come? Why were you here at 5:15 to sing in the choir? Because you love the Lord. Because you're a vessel being used to bring honor and glory to God. You're a vessel hoping that somebody might get saved because they see Jesus Christ and not yourself. Amen? Amen. Hey, I tell you, you need to be a vessel of honor placed in God's house exactly where you're supposed to be because God has a specific job just for you today to do. And in closing tonight, I'm almost done. If we would just purge ourselves, we would be a vessel of honor, sanctified and ready for God's use and prepared for what He has for us. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 11 and 12, the Bible says this, "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye should walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory."
Do you know that we are part of God's glory? You ever think about that? That I am part of God's glory. Preacher, did you ever think you'd be part of God's glory when you was a child? The way you lived, all that stuff. I mean, every time he reads that, tells that stuff he does, I shake my head and go, oh man, there's no way I'd ever be part of God's glory. Why would God ever let me in his kingdom? And you know what? When Jesus shed his blood on Calvary and covered our sins and forgave our sins, he said, now you're going to be part of my glory. When people see your life, they ought to see Jesus Christ in your life. You ought to be proud to be a vessel in God's house. Amen. Let's pray. Father.